Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Easter is by no means over. Easter is 7 Sundays. And so this, the second Sunday, we will continue to rejoice and be glad in the deliverance of our God. The disciples were gathered on the day of Jesus' resurrection, but there were only 10 of them. One of them had already died. Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, was not there. And for whatever reason, reasons we don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us, Thomas was not present when Jesus Christ came to them. And he comes to them where they have locked themselves in their homes for fear of death. And in some cases, not a whole lot has changed. And Jesus gives them his word. His word, which I give to you today, words that should cut through any fear, doubt that you might have. Peace be unto you. This is not the peace that the world has to give, peace that is fleeting. This is not peace that anybody else might try to give you. Rather, this is the peace that surpasses all understanding. This is the peace that only Jesus Christ can give. A peace that casts out fear. A peace that casts out disbelief. A peace that brings joy. Because Jesus, the last time they had seen him, was dead, and now he is alive. You see, dear child of God, Jesus' resurrection is what we also have to look forward to. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Ezekiel is shown a vision in our Old Testament lesson, a vision of all the bones of the faithful who have departed in the faith. Bones that at the very beckoning of God are brought back together, skin is put back on them, and at his word, the Spirit of God fills them, and they are resurrected. That is our hope as Christians, that the bones that we will lay into the ground will be knit back together by God at his word, and that at the moment of that day of resurrection, when Jesus Christ returns, the Spirit will re-enter us, and we will praise him without end. That's the peace that Jesus Christ has to give his disciples. And that is the peace, dear Christian, that Jesus Christ offers to you this day. No matter where you are at in your spiritual journey, Jesus Christ has died for you, and death could not control him, for he is risen. He gives you his peace. Oftentimes, people can't comprehend how a pastor can forgive sins. How I can stand up here at the beginning of the service and say, I forgive you of all of your sins. Well, the text today, our gospel lesson, shows us by whose authority that comes. You see, Jesus gives them his peace, and then he breathes on them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Whosever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whosever sins you withhold, they are withheld. Authority not to be taken lightly. Authority given by Jesus to his apostles, handed down to the church, and used in the office of the holy ministry ever since. It's important that we take a look at Luther's Small Catechism today to understand this authority, the office of the keys, what confession and absolution truly is. Luther begins his fifth chief part of the catechism with this, how Christians should be taught to confess. What is confession? Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins. It's called confession and absolution. We should confess our sins. And second, that we receive absolution. That is forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. You see, dear child of God, I don't get up here on my own authority. I don't meet with you privately and on my own authority forgive your sins. No, it is only by the authority of Jesus Christ. Apart from how qualified I am, apart from my own sins that I must confess, Jesus borrows me to proclaim to you the truth. What sins should we confess? He says, before God we should plead guilty of all sins, even those we are not aware of, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. Martin Luther encourages you, dear child of God, to pray the Lord's Prayer at least twice a day. Every morning when you wake up, that these words of Jesus would be on your lips and in your heart. Every evening before you lay your head down to sleep, that these words would be one of the last things that you hear and pray. And in the prayer that Jesus gave us, we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Yes, every time we pray to God, we ask for His forgiveness. What about this private confession absolution? How is this matter then, if this is the case? He goes on and he says, before the pastor, we should confess only those sins which we know and feel in our hearts. Unlike the Roman Catholic practice of penance, where you go and confess to the priest and he says, now go home and say 10 Hail Marys or 10 Our Fathers, whatever the penance might be. Rather than that, Jesus borrows your pastor's voice and he says, I forgive you of all of your sins. Luther says, which are these sins? That is, which should we consider? Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? The point of this list is to show us that none of us have escaped sinning against God. Every day I must approach the Lord and ask for His forgiveness. For every day I am a sinner. I have sinned. Luther includes how to make confession for sins in the small catechism. And it's something that we have in our hymnal. It is the same rite that I use for private confession and absolution. Private confession and absolution is for those sins, dear child of God, that you hold on to yourself. The sins that, even though you know Jesus Christ died for, you struggle to forgive yourself. It is in those moments that God has given you a pastor who desires not to condemn you, not to judge you, but to hear your confession and to announce God's holy absolution. For those sins that we struggle to forgive ourselves for, you are to call your pastor to meet with him, that he might free you because of what Jesus Christ has done. Your forgiveness is not earned by your confession. Your forgiveness is earned by Jesus' death on the cross. It is the words of Jesus that are an act here. It is not because of the pastor. Rather, it is in spite of the pastor that your sins are forgiven. The words of Jesus do exactly what they say. And he borrows your pastor to do it time and time again. He borrows your pastor's voice over simple water, that when a person is baptized, they receive a washing of grace, a washing that saves them from their sins, not because of the pastor, but because of God's word. Because of God's word, when the pastor speaks or sings the words of our Lord over the bread and wine, what you will eat and drink is not a representation. It is not just bread and wine, but it is the true physical body and blood of Jesus in, with, and under, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. It is not by my own authority that I do these things. It is the authority given by Jesus Christ in the office that he has set. Luther goes on to explain the office of the keys, or I should say the catechism does. What is the office of the keys? The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. As you walk out here today, you will see the shield of St. Peter. And you will notice that there are two keys. That office of the keys is given to the apostles, given to the church, who then calls men into the office to carry out those keys. One of those keys shuts and locks the doors of heaven to those who refuse to repent of their sins, and the other is there to unlock and freely give heaven to those whose sins are loosed by confession and receive God's holy absolution. That is one of my least favorite parts of my job, when I have to use the second key. The one that binds the sinner. The one that says, unless you repent, you cannot receive. Unless you repent, you do not have the sure and certain hope of heaven. I don't take that job lightly, but it is a job that has been bestowed upon me. Jesus gives you peace today. Peace in what he has done. Peace in the fact that he has conquered death, not just for himself, but for each and every one of you who believe and confess on his name. The world gives you no peace. The world gives you only turmoil and pain, uncertainty, fear. But we are born of God. And if we are born of God, we will overcome the world, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is, because of our faith. Jesus is the testimony that is true. The world will attempt to corrupt your heart. Flee the world. Jesus has overcome the world. Flee instead and run to him. That these words that are written in our gospel lesson are true. St. John the Evangelist writes in chapter 20, the Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And what are we to believe according to these words? I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain even in heaven as if Christ our Lord dealt with us himself. Be confident that I stand here not just as my own man, but as a man who has been called by Jesus to proclaim these wonderful things to you. That when you walk out of this church today, you will be built up in the joy of Christ's resurrection. A joy that should carry you through each and every Sunday, each and every week, as long as God has placed you on this earth. And that when it is announced that your sins are forgiven, it is just as valid and certain in heaven as it is here. Thomas did not believe in the resurrection at first. But that next Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, a day that we are gathered today, Jesus appeared to Thomas too. He cast out his doubt. He cast out his fear. And he said, Thomas, I have done this for you. See the nail prints. See and feel my side. The wounds that I endured to cover your unbelief, to cover your sins. See them and feel them. Jesus forgave Thomas as he forgives you this day. And let us from this time forward cry out with Thomas the great confession that Jesus is in fact my Lord and my God. The church sings. Now I will cling forever to Christ my Savior true. My Lord will leave me never whatever he passes through. He rends death's iron chain. He breaks through sin and pain. He shatters hell's grim thrall. I follow him through all. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.